Turn to James chapter 2 for a moment. James chapter 2. Good morning. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, King, our High Priest. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you. We've assembled in His name to receive from Him His ministry to our hearts today. I would like to receive from God today. How about you? Is that Paula? There's Paula. Great. Paula Lange is here. Awesome. I would like to receive from God what He has for me and what He has for you. Isn't that a great attitude to come and assemble? In this verse, James chapter 2, rejoicing over mercy rejoices. Verse 13, for he shall have judgment without mercy that has shown no mercy. Have you shown mercy to people? That's a good question, isn't it? Giving mercy, showing mercy. I was pulled over. I was speeding on the beltway, pulled over by a state policeman. Do you know how fast you were going? He was very polite, actually, and he went back to his car, and he looked on his computer and did whatever he did, and then he came back and he said, you can go. And I'm like, that's amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. He gave me what? Mercy. He gave mercy. Maybe he shouldn't have done it. I don't know. He's there to police the roads, right? But he gave me mercy. I appreciated it a lot. Look at the verse 13. It says, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Judgment is important. Judgment is part of life. We all want justice. We look for justice. But do you also look for mercy? People look for what is right and what is just, but also there is something more. That's what it says. There's something more. There's mercy. God is a just God, but if He dealt with us according to justice, where would we be? Yeah, we would be lost. We are guilty. But He gave Christ so that we could have mercy. He gave Christ so we... So in the press recently, I haven't seen any TV for couple of weeks because I've been traveling and I came back and haven't been seeing anything, but somebody in the parking lot stopped me and showed me the video of this young man in this court case with a police officer that had shot his brother. The police officer went to court, judgment was given, and the brother of the victim, it spoke from his heart to the criminal, and he said these amazing words. Our message this morning is relating to what, and we're going to show you the video. Our message is relating to what this man did, because I believe what he did was what God would do for us. What God has done for us and what God does do for us on a regular basis. So we'll see the video, then we'll do our communion, we'll have the offering, and then we'll give the message. So this is preparation for the message. How many know about the case that I'm talking about? Okay, many of you. Okay. This police officer shot and killed this man. He was in his apartment. Her apartment was on the third floor. Her apartment was on the third. She accidentally went to the fourth floor, went in, saw this man, thought he was a thief. She had been working, and whatever the details are, I don't know. I do not know about it, and I'm not interested in that part of the issue, the case itself, guilt or not, mistake or whatever, but I'm interested in the spirit that this believer had towards the guilty party, okay? So could we play that video, please?
And I wasn't gonna ever say this in front of my family or anyone, but I don't even want you to go to jail. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what both of them would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ. I'm not going to say anything else. I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that both of them would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person. And I don't wish anything bad on you. I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
Okay, please stand. And ask your neighbor this question. Can you forgive people?
Okay, would you turn to... Can you forgive people? Here's the lesson. When you're on the bus or subway and somebody steps on your foot and they say, pardon, excuse me, is it easy to forgive? Yeah, I've got my foot. Okay. But if you lose your leg because of a drunk driver, or you lose your house or job or your money or your health the rest of your life, is it easy to forgive? No, it's hard. It is. It's hard to forgive. And this is something we witnessed in the video, was that this man was speaking to the police officer in the courtroom, and she was convicted and goes to prison. But before she goes to prison, he wanted to say something to her. And he asked the judge, I don't know if I can do this or not, but is it okay if I hug her? And then he said, didn't he say, please? You know? And the judge said, yes. So, okay, you may be seated. In Genesis chapter 2, we see that when God made man, he made man with a goal in mind. And there's three things that we see where man is functioning in the beginning of our Bible, with three elements that really make him who he is supposed to be. And in a way, in the video, and I want this in your mind, that this young man who said, I forgive you, is really functioning in a way that encompasses these three things. And I can write them down here for us. We have the first Adam. This is the sketch for our lesson. The first thing is words. Or we have the word prophet. These three elements that we are going to teach you today have to do with three offices in the Bible: prophet, priest, and king. When God made man, he was to be a prophet. He was to have words. God would speak, and the voice was walking in the garden. God spoke to Adam and Eve, and Adam was to have, Adam and Eve, who were one, were to have words from God. The heart of God, the mind of God, the words of God. To have authority with words of life. And Adam was intelligent. He gave names to the animals. It's interesting. It says when Adam gave a name to the animal, it says that God used that name for the animal. He agreed with Adam. Like Adam gave the name, and God said, "So be it." That's what the name is. It's like God wanted to make us so that he could participate with us and that we would actually be like him, that we would be his sons and his daughters. So words. But because of the fall, we lost the words because we lost God. We don't hear God. We hear ourselves. We hear each other. We have our fears, our confusion, our complexities. We have our trouble. We have our guilt. We have our abstractions, our subjective experiences and objective experiences. Number two, Adam was to be a priest, and I'll put here, he was to have worship. He was to be a priest. A priest is somebody who comes before God and worships God. His primary focus is God. In the Old Testament, when a priest came into worship in the tabernacle, there were two rooms. One room he could go every day, but the other room only once a year. And not just any priest, it had to be the high priest. So this was very sacred. And he had his clothes and his fragrance, his smell, his perfume, his manner, the protocols that were needed. And so he was a priest. And when he came out, he was in touch with the people, but the people were not to defile him. He was to bless them. And in the Old Testament, they didn't have the authority. Like a leper, the priest could not touch the leper because he could be defiled. But the principle is that when Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they were to be worshiping and being thankful and serving God. Their ministry in the Garden of Eden was a spiritual ministry of worship and thanksgiving and the knowledge of God, the heart of God. The third one is king, and this is Adam and Eve were to be in authority on the earth. They were to have dominion. Their garden was so big, and probably God intended for the garden to get bigger, that they were to have children, population was to grow, and the authority of the human race was from God through them, so that they were not afraid in the world they lived in. They were kings. They were people of authority. They had administration. They had influence. They had direction. They were kings in the garden. But this was lost. And man became more afraid. He became subject to the elements. Tyrannical kings could rule a country and murder the population, deprive them of food, put them in prison. The earthquakes and floods and droughts that happened in history, it's an evidence of how man is made to be a king, but actually he lost it. He is more afraid and a victim, and sometimes a great casualty and a hurting person who is wanting to know, who am I? Who am I? Why am I here? Who am I? What do I have? Oh, who am I? What's my purpose, my identity? So we have the second part of our message this morning is the second Adam. This is Christ comes into the world. And he has these three operating in his life. He has words. He's a prophet. Christ is a prophet. One interesting thing to note in our New Testament is that in the epistles, Jesus is never called a prophet. But in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, who in times past, and who God who hath in different times and different means has spoken unto us by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So the epistles make the effort to say that he is a prophet, but he's more because of this. In the Old Testament, when a prophet would say something from God, they say, thus saith the Lord. But Jesus would say, verily, verily, I say to you. A prophet in the Old Testament would say, God said. And Jesus would say, it has been said to you of old time, but I say unto you, because he is the Word incarnated. He is God. But what are these words that Jesus is saying? They are words of life. They are words from his Father. The words from his Father. Now look up at our screen here for a second. The third part of our message is you and I. And I want to talk about that young man in the video. Because he lost his brother, 18-year-old brother, innocent, sitting on his couch watching TV. Someone comes into his apartment and he's shot dead. And the family is brokenhearted. What words would you and I have when I'm hurt badly? I would have my words, and I would understand that. And the Psalms allow us to live through these emotions. By the way, whenever you have these feelings of hatred or revenge or feelings of like looking for justice or you're hurt as a person, then you're allowed to read the Psalms prayerfully, and God allows you to feel, and he can feel with you your pain and understand you. That being said, the words of God are different from the words of men. God's words of God are not from a sinner. They're from a holy God, an awesome living God. They are from God. Simply, they are from God. And when Jesus came, he had words. We can put here words, and they are words of life. And I'll put here, he had words on the cross. It was something like the words we heard in the video. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. I remember Pastor Brian preached a message in Hungary, one of our conventions, conferences, and he said, he read that verse and he said, do any of us really know what we are doing? It's a good thought. Forgive them, they know not what they do. But I mean, who actually knows what they are doing? Right? Yes, we are responsible. Yes, we know what we're doing. No, we don't really. Do we really know? You know, that's a, you know. What I need is not people talking about life as much as I need God talking to me and ministering to us. That's why we go to church, because we have the hope that God will give us his word. Somebody said to me, they went to work and a sentence came to them they heard in church from a message, and they were able to talk at work with that person and with that sentence. And they said, where did you learn that? And they said, I learned it at church. At church. What did you learn at church? I don't learn anything at church. No. We learn words at church. We learn to forgive. We learn to love. We learn to speak. We learn to worship. Jesus was also not just a prophet, but he was a priest. He said, I always do what I see my Father do. Let's go look at this. We've got two directions, people and the world and God. And what do? We look at what the people are doing. I always do what I see the people doing. I talk about what the people are talking about. I'm relating to the world that I live in. I'm living like in the world. This is my world. I am in the world. And Jesus is saying, not me. I see what my Father is doing. Wow, how do you do that? I am from above. You are from below. I am the Word of God incarnated. I have a ministry, but it's not a human one. It's a ministry as a priest. Now notice, when Jesus was here with his disciples, he's there before the Father as a worshiper. And the Father had lost Adam in the garden. Remember, he lost him. Where are you? I like to say those words this way. Where are you? I long for you. Where did you go? My heart is broken. Where are you? It's like a man losing his wife. Where have you gone? Where I want to talk with you. Where are you? I've lost you. Isn't that amazing? You lose a child. Where are you? I can't find you. I haven't talked to you for weeks or months or years. Where are you? I love you. I want to talk to you. I want to hear and receive. Man, God lost man. But Jesus wasn't lost. And it's profound. It's powerful. We don't even know how powerful that is. That he was here with us and he knew the Father and the Father knew him. He was a priest for Peter when Peter is messed up. You know, this woman in the video, the police officer who is found guilty and goes to prison, You know, she's hurting. But that young man is like a priest. He's saying, could I hug her? I care about her. He said, I don't want anything bad for you. I want the best for you. And the best thing you could do is find Christ. That's what he said. I heard later, some brother here told me that the judge came down and took her personal Bible and gave it to her and said, you will need this because she's going to, here's my Bible, and the best verse in the Bible is John 3:16. That's what the judge said. Okay. After she sentenced her, I think it was 10 years of prison, that's fine. I can pay for my crime. I'm not against that. But I'm saying something deeper. When I am guilty, will you be a priest for me? Will you love me? God, when I sin, will you find me? Will you be a priest for me? Can you forgive me? Yeah, I can. I gave Christ so that not only he would be the priest, but he would be the sacrifice itself, the Lamb of God, that will take away our sin. That Jesus was the Lamb of God on the cross, and then he became the priest that went into the Holy of Holies, not on the earth. By the way, on the earth in Jerusalem, he never entered the temple. He was always outside in the courtyard, teaching as a rabbi with the other rabbis, but he couldn't go in because he wasn't a Levite. And of course, the temple that he came from in heaven is not an earthly temple. His ministry wasn't in this one. His ministry is in that one. And this one has passed away anyway in history. It's gone. But that one is forever. And he went into that one on our behalf, to plead on our behalf, to petition on our behalf. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Hebrews 9, 34 to 36. And he's coming again. Listen, in the Old Testament, when the Aaronic priest, the high priest, would go in, and he'd be in there serving, and then he would come out. And when he came out, he'd be a bit bloody, and he would be there, and he'd be able to say, because of his physical existence, that he didn't die, it was a testimony that the sacrifice was accepted. Well, this is like Jesus who went to heaven, and when he returns, it's a statement to the whole world that I have overcome, that I am the priest forever. And I am seated in heaven. And it says this, you read the verse 6 times in the book of Revelation, where it says, the throne of God and the Lamb. 6 times. God and the Lamb. In the video, I think that young man had the spirit of the Lamb. He did. He had the spirit of, I am not here to be your judge. I am here to say, as a believer, to say, I wish your best. He even said, I don't even want you to go to prison. I want your best. He had the spirit of the Lamb. Isn't that beautiful? But it's funny, the fallout I heard is that there's a lot of anger about what he did. There's a lot of like, that's not right. That's not the way it should. We got to get these people, and so on. And you know, the world, of course, guys, who understands grace? Where is grace in the world? Who understands, not like, pardon me on the subway, but a real offense? But Jesus knows what a real offense is. And then the third one is Jesus is the King. I'm going to ask you to turn with me to Luke 24 and see a verse that I want to draw your attention to. It's a very peace part of a verse. It's Luke 24 and verse 50. It says, "And he led them out as far as Bethany." They had been in Jerusalem. They come down up in the Megiddo area, the Mount Tabor. They come down, and he leads them as far as Bethany. And this is the 40-day period of his ascension. His ascension is going to happen. He hasn't yet ascended. But his crucifixion has happened. There's 40 days, and he's coming and going and appearing and disappearing, and he's teaching them. It's 40 days seems like a long time. But it's like God's wisdom to say that Jesus is to be here as a human being for 40 days, coming and going, and that he has victory over death and victory over our sin, and he's teaching the disciples so that they know he is not a phantom or a ghost, that they know he's real, glorified, that he's been raised from the dead, and they are with him. And he leads them out to Bethany. And my question this morning in the earlier sermon was, why didn't Pontius Pilate go after him? Why didn't Caiaphas go after him? Why wasn't there an argument with a Pharisee or a Sadducee after his resurrection from the dead? And what do you think is the answer to that? Do you have any idea? Yeah. Let's see, maybe it's not interesting to you. What? In Jesus' earthly ministry, the Pharisees and the Sadducees are hunting. Oh, Jerry and Mary, good to have you here. Why, they've moved down from Massachusetts. Wow, amazing. Good, wow, awesome. Blessing. In his earthly life, Pilate is Caiaphas. They arrest him, they bring him, they drag him, they crucify him. After he's raised from the dead, none of that happens. There's no argument with the Pharisee, no argument with the Sadducee, there's no Caiaphas or Pontius Pilate, but he's raised from the dead and he's coming and going. And why you might say, well, of course they didn't. He was raised from the dead and he is Lord, he is King. He is King of Kings. He is a king. He can walk through. He can be in a demonic world and they cannot touch him. Well, what about before? Before the Father had him here and he was subjected to the evil for the Father's purposes. Once that purpose is finished, then he's here, and they have no authority over him. Pilate could do nothing against him. There's no Pharisee that could have any argument against him. There was no spirit that could touch him, for he is far above all principality and power. That he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and God is saying, I already did that. I already did that. We already saw what evil can do. And evil crucified him. Now that he is victorious over it and been raised up, now he can be here. And there is no power on earth that can challenge who he is, for he has overcome everything here in this world. And he's getting his army together. These are the disciples. And he's teaching them. And he's saying, wait in Jerusalem 10 days for the promise of my Father. And that Holy Spirit power will come upon you. And you will go into the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you always. And these powers, these evil powers, are under you. And you are able to minister in a way that is very different. Listen, that video is saying something to us. This young man is saying something that's different. He is saying, and as he is doing this ministry, he is showing us the kingdom. Really, there's something. Who is a king in that courtroom? That young man. Because when he says, I forgive you, on what grounds can you say those words? Well, you killed my brother. And this whole courtroom is about that. And that you are guilty, apparently. And I can say to you that I want something more than judgment. I want mercy to rejoice over judgment. I want you to find God. I want you to know grace. I want you to find Jesus Christ. Well, look up at our screen here. It means that you and I must have new words. You know? We have to have new words. Words from the books we read, and words from the Bible, of course, and words of life. There's no books like the Bible. I said that maybe backwards. All the words that I have from God that come to me from the Bible, and all those books that relate to that reality, if something that I feed on by habit as a believer, then we need to be here for others as a priest. I think there's a lot of people that are looking for somebody. Psalm 142, no man cares for my soul. People care. The banker cares about my money. The doctor cares about my blood pressure. Dentist cares about my teeth. You know, who else? I don't know. There's a lot of people that care about different things about me, but who cares for my soul? Who cares for my soul? Jesus does, the new Adam, and you, and me. And maybe we don't feel it or think that way, but it's true. And for you and I to grow up and be people that are going to include others. Like, think about it. There's the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like he's got the long arm to include the guy in the ditch or this police officer or anybody, you know, anybody. He will go all the way and he will draw us to God. The Trinity. And we are here as priests. Maybe for the island of Jamaica, we could be a priest. Maybe for some guilty man in a prison, we could be a priest. For the persecuted Christians in Iran, there's an amazing video I heard about. The mosques are empty in Iran, and there are homes filled with people seeking Jesus Christ in Iran. It's amazing. I forget the name of the video. What is that? Do you know, Afroos? I forget. But anyway, you can find it. It's like amazing work of God. We are priests for others. We can be a priest for our country, a priest for the people that are leading us. We can be a priest for the guilty. We can be a priest for the people that are in trouble. And of course, this is Jesus came as the priest for the world, knowing the world will not believe in him, knowing that many of the world, he said, I pray not for the world, but for those that will come to me. But he also said on the cross, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He's a priest interceding, and he's caring. And then the last one is, are you a king? Are you a king? And what does that mean? Maybe nobody notices this because it's a different kind of king. It's like when you wake up on a Monday morning and you feel like you're substantial, you're like solid, somehow you're a king. Like you have something, like you know the way, or I'm not afraid of the climate. I'm not afraid of the wind and the storm and the hurricane. I will hide if trouble comes. Yes, I'll be wise, but I wanna run and hide when it's appropriate. And as I do so, I'm not a little person like hiding in fear, but I wanna be like understanding and wise in life. And sometimes not run and hide because it's not time to do that. It's time to stand and say, what is going on here? It's like a father in a house with a bunch of children walks into the bedroom. What is going on in here? It's like there's something about you now, your nature, your character, your wisdom, your content. You have the Spirit of God in you. It's like Jesus in the storm, ordering the winds and the wind and the waves, and rebuking the demons and having authority. Isn't it in the video something like that when the young boy is saying tearfully these words? And in the courtroom, who is the king there but the one that can forgive and say, I want the best for you? Wow. You see, people are maybe proud and they put on the facade. You know, does everyone recognize that I am a king? Do you notice it? I am a king. Do you know? You don't see it? You are my enemy. This is a different kind. This is solid in the spirit when you feel I can show up. I don't want to. I want to run away, but I can show up. I can face it. It's kind of like truth sets you free from yourself and you become a worshiper. You know how people struggle with things in life, like our weight is sometimes a big struggle for people, eating habits, addictions to things, movies and social media and different things. And sometimes we feel guilty and we feel like, oh no, this thing is getting me. It's overcoming me. I don't have any authority. I don't have the control. I don't have the oomph. Well, that's what we're talking about. You have. This is what we're saying. Jesus had, and so do you. And you're able to say in your spirit, okay, I'm 50 pounds overweight. That's fine. Okay, I can live with that. Maybe that's what God's will is. But on the other hand, if somehow I get a feeling in my spirit and in my heart, this does not bother me, or I am in control, or I can change this because I know who God is, or some other thing. I'm trying to illustrate the principle, which is a powerful one. I am not losing somehow. You know how I've gotten hurt by my family. I got hurt in a divorce. I got hurt with my life, my job, my house, my kids, my health, whatever it might be. And we're saying, God did not make you to be a slave of sin. He made you to be free and to make you a priest and a king. And that kingship is what we saw in that video. I believe that. I saw a young man do an extraordinary thing that touched my heart and touches our country and touches the world, or anybody who sees it and understands the story behind it. This is a ministry. And I cannot help but think that you and I, we all have our place here in this thing that we are part of. And it's big. It's important. God gave his son so that we would be different. God gave his son so that wherever we go, we would have something that would be love, and to be giving grace and to be helping others. That the arms of God would be reaching out and including people that are different from us. And maybe they are not good, or they may be, you know, very troubled. But somehow we understand the Spirit of God and the ways of God and the ministry of God. And we are thankful that we are part of it. Okay. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Lord Jesus, we thank you for that young man in the video and all that he said and what he did, and for our meditation on it this morning, and for our lives. Day by day we come to the church, week by week, month by month, year by year, so that we could get words. And that we would be priests and in our private life. And then we would have the spirit of a king on a Monday morning when we get up. And somehow we can feel and sense God is our king. And we are kings also. And we have something going on. Cooking. It's cooking in us. There's something going on. Maybe you haven't started your journey. Maybe you haven't started your Christian life. Maybe you haven't accepted the forgiveness that God has for you. Maybe you haven't realized your need for it. And we say to you this morning, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to accept and believe in Jesus Christ personally. Today is the day to be born again. Please say in your heart to God, save me. Save me. Forgive me. Save me. Come into my life. Be my Savior. I accept you in Jesus' name. Anyone saying the prayer, raise your hand, please. The ushers will give you a booklet. Raise your hand. Say yes to Jesus. Anyone at all here in the auditorium, on the internet, send us an email saying, I did that. I did that. And encourage us in it. Yes, anyone at all. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, for this time this morning to speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.